Good evening and welcome to People of Note on Classic 1027. This program is broadcast every Sunday from 6 to 8, and in it I talk to someone who is a person of note and we listen to music of their choice. My guest tonight comes from a long way away, and she is a long way away. Her name is Aileen Anderson, and she's talking to us from somewhere in the mountains behind Swellendam. Good evening, Aileen.
Hi, good evening, Richard.
Wonderful to have you on the program. I'm just going to tell people who you are, and then you can fill us in. Aileen lives on a farm near Grootvaders Bos. This is the last bit of forest, of the old Tsitsikamma forest, in the mountains behind Swellendam, sort of between Swellendam and Barrydale. And she is running a conservancy there, the Grootvaders Bos Conservancy, but she also runs Silver Mountain Music, and it's great to have you on the program. So perhaps you could just explain to us, Aileen, exactly what it is that you do in the conservancy.
Well, thanks, Richard. Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be on the show. The Grootvaders Bos Conservancy works with 19 private landowners in this valley, and we assist the landowners in a couple of environmental activities, particularly around the clearing of alien vegetation. So the landowners also contribute to the program financially, but we actually help them by removing trees, particularly from the rivers, and then that assists them with increased water flow onto their farms. And that employs about 100 people in the valley, and those are some of the poorest people in our valley. And then we also work with them on other things, fire control, fire management, giving them advice on different conservation and environmental things on their farms. So, yeah, I'm privileged to live in a beautiful part of the world.
Well, and you say valley, but I know you live on sort of on the top of a hill rather than in a valley.
Yeah, so actually I look right onto the Grootvaders Bos forest and onto some very, very beautiful mountains. So it's a great place to be. It's isolated, but it has its perks.
And those are the Langkloof Mountains, aren't they?
Yeah, the Langeberg Mountains. They
Langeberg.
Run all the way across through here.
Yeah. And how long has this conservancy been up and running?
It's one of the longest in the Western Cape, so it's 25 years now, I think, it's been operating. Started long before I moved out here by Cape Nature and my uncle and some other members in the valley who started it, who saw a need for people to work together. It's only been in the last 4 or 5 years we've actually employed full-time staff. And that really helps to focus everyone's attention and get things done.
And I believe when you talk about fire is quite a common event up there.
Yeah, so fire is something that anyone who lives on a farm worries about quite a lot. We're always thinking about fire breaks and how we can protect farms, because the devastation that can be caused by, I mean, you can imagine houses and infrastructure can get taken out. And because in the Fynbos burns naturally, so it will burn every 10 to 15 years or so. So you actually need to expect that and prepare for it by building fire breaks and scheduling burns so that you can safely burn when it suits, when the wind is not going to blow it into someone's farm or into infrastructure.
Yeah,
so we spend a lot of time thinking about that.
In fact, Fynbos needs fire, doesn't it?
Yes, it has to burn. And so we Twucky, who is our fire officer, we can sit down with a map and he can almost pinpoint, this hasn't burned in 20 years. There, if it's lightning, we expect that area to burn. And then we can sort of plan how we're going to manage that if it does burn. So if it doesn't burn, it's quite bad for the Fynbos. It changes the structure, and some you can actually lose species if you don't burn it regularly.
Okay, well, here comes your first choice of music, and this is by Johann Sebastian Bach. It's from his Orchestral Suite No. 3. That was part of Bach's Orchestral Suite No. 3 in D major, the choice of Aileen Anderson. Aileen, are you the CEO of that conservancy, or how do conservancies work?
Well, I mean, conservancies are voluntary organizations, so members join, and I'm also a landowner here. So I'm the manager of the staff. My main responsibility focuses on the alien clearing program. So, yes, I manage the staff and the activities, but I also have a board of landowners that I report to and get advice from them, which is always needed because they're the wise ones who guide us. It works well. It's challenging because we have a lot of different dynamics with landowners and government bureaucracy and staff, but we managed to get a lot done. So it's I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, to get 17 landowners to agree what's going to happen must be quite difficult from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And I think one of the things, yeah, especially at the moment, because farmers have had 3 very tough financial years with drought, they're also under pressure. And so if you suddenly start asking them to put money into environmental programs, it's quite difficult sometimes, understandably, because they are protecting their livelihoods and they may not have the cash to commit to removing alien trees. So that's one thing we have to be very sensitive to. How do we help land? How can we communicate with them the benefits in the long run to their land by keeping it clear of alien trees?
And what sort of farming goes on in that area? I know that there are dairy farms. What other sort of farms are there?
So the main type of activity is dairy. And Jersey, we actually have the highest percentage of Jersey cows outside of Jersey in the UK. So Jersey is big in this valley. And then we also have beef cattle, quite a lot of guest houses, bee farming, and canola and wheat to a certain extent. But we're more suited for the dairy because we've got quite high rainfall in our valley.
And it's obviously high quality milk because Jerseys give, I know, very creamy milk. So there's obviously milk and milk products, I guess, are important.
Yeah, so because of the high butter fat in the Jersey, that's mainly what they use the Jersey milk for, as you said, because of the amount of cream. They sell it a lot for cheese, and we have a few cheese factories in the valley and also yogurt and butter, but mainly for cheese. It's very good for that.
Right. Your next choice is the famous Pachelbel Canon, and here it comes now. That was the famous Pachelbel Canon, played by the Baroque Ensemble of Vienna, the choice of Aileen Anderson, who's my guest in People of Note. Aileen runs the Grootvadersbos Conservancy. Now, just tell us a little bit about Grootvadersbos, because I mentioned at the beginning that it was sort of the last remaining bit in your area of the old Tsitsikamma forest. And it is like the Tsitsikamma forest, I think, isn't it?
Yes, so it's a very isolated little section, and it was cut off from the main section, as you mentioned. And because of that, it's quite special in that the isolation has resulted in some quite unique species that have developed here because of the isolation. A lot of them we're still kind of discovering. One of them is a dwarf chameleon that has just been identified as a unique species here. There's also a butterfly, a beautiful blue emperor butterfly. There's a shrew that is only found here, and some fish. So because of the fact that it was cut off, there's these amazing array of diversity.
Well, and when you say fish, that implies rivers also. So there must be sort of important rivers that flow through that area.
Yes, we've got the Trotto River through the Trotto Pass. We've got the Davernox River and the Grootvadersbos River that flows into the Breda River. And each of those has different types of fish because of the way the rivers flow. And so we have got and our rivers are in very good quality. And they are very important because they're the headwaters for some of the other rivers downstream that are very important for agricultural activity. So protecting our rivers here is very important for downstream users as it feeds into many rivers.
And obviously the water is in good condition there.
Absolutely. So the recent studies, we're doing some work on monitoring our rivers, and our rivers are in very good condition. It's just a matter of keeping them that way. There are some exceptions. The Trotto River struggling because they are under pressure from increased agriculture activity on the Berriedale side. And so we're constantly looking at how we can make sure that those rivers are protected as best we can.
And what are these fish that we hear about? Are they fish that we would recognize or not?
Well, probably not many people would sort of find or know them because they're in these dark little streams in the mountains, and they are very often quite small. Some of them are as small as your pinky finger, even smaller. The redfin are a bit bigger, and they're beautiful fish. They've got these red streaks under their front fins. So you probably wouldn't know them, but they're in all our little streams, and there's an amazing diversity. And a lot of them are under threat. Some of them aren't even described. They're probably a whole lot of new species that, because they're so small and difficult to find, there's probably a lot more diversity than we think.
Actually, it's amazing to think that there are still species waiting to be found in that area.
Absolutely, and I work with some different organizations, some friends of mine, BioNerds, and other people who work Cape Nature, and they're always telling me that it's not a matter of they not being, the matter is that there are not enough scientists and not enough people collecting specimens and enough scientists that know enough about how to identify spiders and frogs. And the taxonomic research in this country struggles to keep up with the number of specimens that they get given. And I didn't even realize that until I moved here. Yeah. Often I take a photograph of a moth and they tell me, we don't know what it is.
That's amazing. It, as you mentioned at the beginning, it's quite isolated up there because actually you're at the end of the road, aren't you? It's the road to Grootvadersbos, but you're the last farm on the road.
Yeah, so Strawberry Hill Farm is the farm, and we're right next to Cape Nature. So the Grootvaders Nature Reserve is my neighbour on the one side. And so we literally are the end of the road into the mountains. So it's a very special place to live. And because of that, we have a lot of diversity that comes from the wilderness area and from Cape Nature next door and extends onto our farm and neighbouring farms here.
Right. Your next choice is Magda de Vries playing from something from her CD called Marimba Rock. It's part of a concerto in A minor. That was Magda de Vries with a small string ensemble playing part of a concerto in A minor from a CD called Marimba Rock. Aileen, I just want to ask you about we were talking about the forest, because I've been there. I've, in fact, been to stay on your farm, and I seem to remember that there are some giant redwood trees in the forest there. How does that come about?
Yeah, so I don't know all the history of it, but they are Californian redwoods, and they are quite remarkable to see them. I mean, they're not indigenous. They're obviously exotic, but they've become sort of historic items because they, I think they're some of the biggest in the country. Not the biggest, but up there were some of the biggest.
Yeah.
And they were originally planted for timber. And then maybe they were too inaccessible to get out, but they are over 100 years old and they're amazing, huge, very impressive trees that you go through this indigenous forest and suddenly you see these huge redwoods. It's very impressive.
Yeah. And just tell us a little bit about the history of that area, because I know that your, or part of your family, has been there since early in the 1800s.
Yeah, so the Moody family came out here in the 1800s, and in fact, the Moody family owned, I believe, the whole area right up to the top of the mountain, which is now the wilderness area and Cape Nature, and many of the farms in the valley. It was a big Grootvadersbos estate. And then at some point, I remember my grandfather telling me the responsible thing to do back then was to sort of give the land to the government to look after for conservation. So that was done, unfortunately, a long time ago, where it was passed over as custodian to the government. And then since then, at one stage, it was when I spent time here as a child, there was a lot of forestry activity. So before it was a nature reserve, there was lots of forestry up in those mountains.
Well, in the indigenous forest, or is this planted plantations now?
Sorry, yeah, planted up on the Fynbos.
Yes, okay.
For as long as I can remember, it was a forestry station. And then it was converted to a nature reserve, and they removed all the pines up in the mountains and restored it back to its original, which was Fynbos. But for many, many years, it was just a forest station.
You've been living there for some years now, and I've been up there, so I know it's a very beautiful area, and it must be quite special to live up there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's different. So a lot of people, when you have guests coming here, they think, oh, it's amazing and peaceful and restful. It is. But there's still a lot of challenges in living in a remote place. You have to look after yourself. You have to sort out your water and your electricity and your so rural areas are fabulous, but they also have their own set of challenges. You can't just order sushi or pizza if you want something on the weekends.
And you can't eat small redfin fish. This is not good.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, one of the things you've done there to make it attractive to outsiders, and also perhaps for yourself, because you're a keen cyclist, is to build trails.
Hmm.
Just tell us about that.
I'm an avid mountain biker, and so one of the things we did is we got some funding through Table Mountain Fund to develop trails across the landowners, and we have a network of 4 different mountain bike trails. And so it's fabulous to be able to, for me, to get on my bike and ride those trails and to share it with other people that are coming.
And do people come?
It's about 100. Yeah, so we have obviously now things are much slower than they should be, and most of our trails are ridden by guests visiting the area. So we don't have a lot of day visitors because of how far away we are, but increasingly becoming popular with people from Cape Town, from George, coming through to ride our trails.
And are there walking trails as well?
Yes, so you can walk or run the mountain bike trails. We generally recommend people to walk in the Cape Nature because those are better suited for hiking. But yeah, so if you combine the mountain biking with the hiking, you've got kilometers and kilometers of mountain biking, hiking and running to explore in the conservancy and the nature reserve.
So if people come for a weekend, there's plenty to do.
Yes, usually I get people that think they can ride them all in a weekend, and I have to tell them, well, you need to come back because if you want to ride them all, it's going to take longer than just a normal weekend. You need probably 2 weekends.
Yeah. Now, your next choice is rather unusual. It's nothing that I've ever heard of. This is by someone called Josef de Beerenhouwer. Can you just tell us about this?
Oh, so this is actually a little bit embarrassing because I don't actually know a lot about these pieces of music because I just have this folder on my laptop that's classical music.
Oh, and you just like listening to it.
Yeah. And so when you asked me to select, I just went to that folder, and I actually didn't even know what some of them were called. I had to Shazam them to get the name. So I unfortunately don't know a lot about the pieces of music other than I like them.
Okay. Well, that's good enough for me. So here it comes, Wiele Weit en Telia Werkt by Josef de Beerenhouwer. That was a piece by Josef de Beerenhouwer called Wiele Weit en Telia Werkt, the choice of Aileen Anderson, who's my guest on People of Note. Aileen runs a conservancy in the Grootvadersbos area in the mountains behind Swellendam. Now, one of the other things that you've been instrumental in getting going is the Silver Mountain Music Festival. And I was certainly involved in that from the beginning because I realized that that area had a lot of potential for tourism, and one of the ways to get people there is through music. So just give us a little background to the festival.
Yeah, so I think the idea came maybe between a conversation that you had with my dad at one point, and you thought this would be because I know you've been friends with our family for many years, and out of that conversation, the idea was, well, let's put this festival together. And since then, initially the idea was a little bit intimidating to me because I'd never run a festival before and I didn't know what it involved. And I knew that if Richard was involved, the music would be good. But what about all the logistics and the toilets and the tickets and in the middle of nowhere? But then the first year, somehow we sort of pulled it off, and it was actually, as much as it was very hard work, it was also incredibly enjoyable to meet all these musicians, to see people coming and loving it and wanted to do the next year. And since then, it's just become sort of an item that my staff look forward to every year. They were so disappointed not to organize it this year because they love it. It's hard work, but they really enjoy some of them are so privileged to have these musicians come out here and appreciate them and appreciate the valley.
One of the things that you've been able to do is to draw a lot of the local community into the festival itself, which has been special. So just tell us, some of these communities are in small places like Zürbrach, which many listeners probably will never have heard of. So just paint the picture for us a bit about places like Zürbrach.
Yeah, Zürbrach, I believe, is an old little missionary town, and it's a beautiful little town. If you're driving on the N2 and you go past Biffiach's garage, there's a turn off there to Zürbrach, and then it's this picturesque little community looking onto the mountains with some amazing rivers nearby. And it's a very traditional colored community. And it's got some long-standing families that have lived there for many, many generations. And it's got a very special vibe about it. Some amazing artists and musicians that live there. And about 50 of our contractors and workers come from that community, so we have quite strong connections there. And then the other town we work with is Heidelberg, which is the one that people know as Wimpy on the N2. That's also a very special community. And a lot of, actually, I only found out once I started the festival, a lot of famous actors and musicians have come from Heidelberg. So there's quite a strong music culture there. And between those two communities, there's a lot of interest in arts and music.
Well, and what's been wonderful about the Silver Mountain Music Festival is that we've done concerts in those small places as well, in village halls, using local people, local choirs, local singers, sort of folk duos and so on. And it's been, I think that's a very special contribution that they have made to the festival too. And one of the other important things is that you've been able to draw a lot of the local farmers in, because every year we've done a concert in a different farm shed, and they bring along their produce and so on. Just tell us about that.
Yeah, so we wanted to keep, one of the unique things is the idea of having music in unique venues, and the idea of a farm shed. There's so many of these, I think, magnificent big farm sheds on farms. So for the main concert where we have the orchestra, we convert one of these farm sheds that's usually filled with tractors and cows and cow feed into an orchestra hall and put a stage up and then try and get people to come and sell boerewors rolls and different produce and eggs and butter, cheese.
Bread.
And it just creates a very bread. It just creates a very unique atmosphere to have an orchestra in a farm shed in the mountains.
With a beautiful view.
Yes, with a beautiful view. So it's quite special. And I guess I at the time didn't think it was so unique, but now you realize that it is very unique to have that in the mountains.
Yeah, it's absolutely unique. It's a very unusual festival, and certainly it's not replicated anywhere else that I know of. It's got these many unique features, as has that whole area. We talked about fish and dwarf chameleons and plants and shrews. Well, the music is pretty unique there as well. And musicians come up from Cape Town, and we've had some from Gauteng. And in fact, Magda, who one of her pieces was played earlier, she's been there. And we've had some Bach played as well, and here comes part of a Bach cello suite. That was the prelude from the Bach cello suite number 3 in C major, the choice of Aileen Anderson, who's my guest in People of Note. Aileen, I think on the farm where you are, wasn't there some sort of timber industry with blackwood?
Yeah, so one of the things that people don't realize is some of the invasive trees that we have, they are obviously bad for the environment and they use a lot of water. But some of them, like blackwood, actually is very good furniture, makes very good furniture. So what we're doing now on our farm is to remove the blackwood. We're not going to be replanting it, but to also utilize it, and we've always done that. So instead of just burning it for firewood, you can actually utilize that, and it makes very nice. And a lot of people think, I often get people phoning me and saying, do you have any Knysna blackwood? Because it's the same Knysna. It's the same blackwood that comes in Knysna. And I have to correct them and say, well, it's actually Australian. And they're like, no, I want the Knysna blackwood. So I think blackwood has actually kind of got itself, done a good marketing job in saying itself, making out as if it's indigenous, because it's such, people can't believe that an invasive tree can make such good furniture. And it really does. A lot of my house where I stay is all blackwood floors and furniture. It is a beautiful, so we process it as much as we can to, as we clear it and return it to indigenous, we're utilizing the wood.
So it's a sort of win-win situation there.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the forestry industry in South Africa is closing down a lot. There are very few forestry industries still going. Most of them have closed. A lot of it's happening in Natal. So there is actually quite a demand for timber in the Western Cape.
And one of the other big things in your area, I think you mentioned this earlier, was bees.
Yes, so my uncle John Moody is a bee farmer, and he's next door to me. And so they have an amazing product, and they sell that direct to consumers. But he also does a lot of work with pollination, which is quite fascinating. So there's a demand for the pollination of fruit trees at a specific time, and he will go in usually in the spring and deliver all these hives at the right time to ensure pollination happens. And that's an important source of income for his farm. So that's a very interesting. And they have a lot of challenges too with bee diseases. But that is an important part of the agricultural industry, is pollination.
And I believe that bees indicate the health of an area. So if you've got bees, it shows that that's a sort of healthy area, which is a good thing.
Absolutely. They do have a lot of challenges. Unfortunately, often he will have to rush and remove his bees because they're spraying a pesticide to protect from weeds, and that can actually wipe out the bees. So there's always a bit of a challenge there. If he's delivering hives, they often forget to tell him that you need to remove them before we spray the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and your next choice is Shakira. This time, it's Waka Waka. This was from 2010, the World Cup. Waka Waka, this time for Africa. That was the famous Waka Waka, this time for Africa. Shakira with, it was one with a local pop group, I seem to remember, Mango Groove or yes. Someone was, yes, it was
Freshly Ground,
that's right, not Mango Groove, sorry, I take it all back. Freshly Ground and Shakira,
that's a great piece.
Yeah, it's a great piece, and it was a great time too, 2010.
Yes,
all sorts of things happened. We had lots of visitors, and I think one of the reasons for telling people about Grootvadersbos and the area where you live is to attract people to the area. So apart from walking in the mountains, cycling, and all the things we've mentioned, there's also beautiful scenery there that people can drive. You don't have to walk and cycle. There are roads in the area that take you through the Trudeau Pass, for example, is a dramatic pass which takes you through to Barrydale, and then you're in wine country. So just talk to us about wines for a moment.
Yeah, so I mean, I love my wine, so I've got to know a few of the winemakers in the area, and there's lots of great. Our wine makers are not as concentrated as they would be in a place like Stellenbosch, but we have some very special wineries within proximity to our farm. There's Sane Wine, which is more towards Malchus, and they've got a lovely wine. Of course, they support our festival, and they're in this incredible little remote place in the middle of nowhere on the Breda River next to the Malchus pond. And then the other one is Belea, which is in Riversdale, also in the Davenock side, which is not many other vineyards around there. And then, as you said, if you go over into the Trotto into Barrydale side, there's a lot of winemakers on that side that are also making some very, very good wine. So you can have a kind of remote exploring of all these special little vineyards and winemakers if you come into this area.
Yeah, and once you're in Barrydale, you're in the Little Karoo, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, so then there's lots of different
calders
on that side. And so it's not far. I mean, I think by the crow flies, Barrydale is actually our closest town, but you've just got to go over this huge mountain range. So it's only about 40 minutes drive from here. Actually, one of the things that I've often done is to run over the mountain and stay the night in Barrydale and then run back the next day. So that's definitely a great option if you like some exercise.
Yeah, but I have to warn people, it's quite a big mountain. I mean, we're not talking sort of a little hill here. It's a pretty big mountain.
No. But it's magnificent. I mean, I remember my great uncle, who was a Springbok walker, and he used to live in Barrydale, and my grandfather was still on the farm. And he would just walk over the mountain as exercise to have tea with my grandfather and then walk back. And it's a long walk. It's a lot. And he must have been in his late 80s, early 90s when he was still sort of walking over the mountain range 20 kilometers for tea and then walk back.
Wow. So. Yeah, amazing. But it really is a beautiful area. So if people – have you got a website of some sort where people can see things?
Yes. Yeah, so the website for the Conservancy is gvbconservancy.co.za. And that has a link to all the different farms. And then the Strawberry Hill is strawberryhillfarm.co.za. That's the farm here. But if you want a link to all of the different farms in the Conservancy, then it's GVB Conservancy.
Okay, so that's for Grootvadersbos, GVB.
Yeah.
GVB Conservancy.co.za. So that's where you can find all the information. I'll give that again towards the end of the program. But here comes your next choice now. And you'll have to tell us about this because you've given me a bit more information. It was a concert somewhere in Madagascar.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So I haven't listened to it for a while, but I think Richard Mwambo used to do an African Connection show. And at one stage, I used to listen to that on a Saturday afternoon, I think it was. And it was never a very convenient time for me because on Saturday afternoons, I would normally be riding my bike somewhere in the middle of nowhere. But whenever I could catch it, I would listen to it. And through listening to his I got to know about this piece, and it always just touched me because it was, you can just imagine, I think they're a famous Madagascan vocal group, and they did a live concert, and I just always imagine this sort of dusty, probably a soccer stadium in the middle of nowhere with probably bad sound and hot evening, and this whole, and you, as they're playing, you could hear the whole audience singing along, knowing every single word. And it's just incredible to me, the sound. It's a beautiful song anyway, but when you hear the audience singing along, it just always gives me goosebumps.
So here it comes, La Nitra Salala Manga Manga. That was a song from Madagascar, La Nitra Salala Manga Manga. And it's the choice of Aileen Anderson, who lives in the Grootvadersbos area, in the mountains behind Swellendam. And all sorts of things go on there that we don't know about. And just tell us, Aileen, how has your area been affected by the recent lockdown?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Obviously the lockdown has affected everyone all over the world, and the tourism industry has been hit, and the restaurants and all of that industry, and many of the farmers here have tourism, so they've lost a lot of that. But what has been interesting is I recently contacted the, in preparation for some of the work we're doing for Silver Mount Music, I called one of the local managers who runs the SSK that works with all the farmers in the valley. And they said that, interestingly enough, because food production stayed the same, many of the farmers haven't experienced a massive drop in terms of food production. They've stayed pretty much the same. But he commented that the impact of the drought for the last 3 years is still crippling so many of these farmers, because there's been, in some cases, consistently 20% drop in production. And so these farmers are already in debt. And then a lot of the sort of additional income they were getting from a bit of tourism on the side to keep things going, now all of that's gone. So they're struggling to get out of debt consistently for 3 years, and now they've lost additional income. So there really is a lot of pressure, and there's a great need to support many of these small farming enterprises, because they have a double whammy. They have unpredictability of climate, but then they're also in a global market where they have to deal with fluctuating rand prices. And so farming is a tough business, and they really need support from tourism and the city to come and visit and support them as much as possible.
So there you are. That's for all the listeners, wherever you may be in the country or in the world. There's a place to visit there in the mountains behind Swellendam so that you can support everyone there. And I noticed you had a photographer in, Jacques Marais, to document some of what was going on during the lockdown. Just tell us about that.
Yeah, so Jacques is an adventure mountain biking trail running photographer, and I got to know him through some of my activities, because I'm always on my bike and he was always there. And so in our conversations when he was coming out here filming some of the mountain biking side of it, we struck up an idea to actually try and capture what was going on during lockdown. And he was, being from a farm himself, he loved the idea. So he came out right in the middle of the heavy lockdown and just tried to capture the sort of feeling of being trapped versus that feeling of being free, and also try and capture some of the stories. Because although the food production stayed the same, there were some industries that were very, very heavily hit. Like the flour producers couldn't sell their flours during lockdown. They received massive losses. Some of the small coffee producers who rely on tourism, many of them massive losses. Some of the tourism, particularly those that are dependent on international tourists, massive losses. So while in a whole the food production wasn't hit, these smaller industries, massive challenges. So he tried to capture some of that. And we've captured that on the Silver Mountain Music Facebook page. There's a representation of that in something called Masks On, Masks Off. And we've put to music some of his images to try and capture these stories.
So just give us that site again.
So it's the Silver Mountain Music Facebook page. Silver MT Music is the handle for our Facebook page. And you can also go to our website, which is silvermountainmusic.co.za, and all the links are on our website as well.
Gosh, so there's a whole range of websites that you can go to there, and we'll give them all again at the end so that people can see these things. And I know you've been doing quite a lot of sort of online stuff with Silver Mountain Music as well, to keep people involved and interested.
Yeah, so we wanted to... And I was also just very aware during level 5 how many musicians and artists just couldn't do anything during this time. And so we wanted to kind of keep something going with Silver Mountain Music, even though we couldn't host it in June. And so we've put together a whole lot of interviews, photographic journeys set to music, which you, Richard, and a lot of other people have been working hard with to try and capture some of that. And I think it's been very successful. Lots of great feedback from people that have been part of it, have watched some of the interviews. So I hope that, and all of it's still online, so even if you miss some of the live viewing of it, it's all still there to watch. Yeah, and it'll give you a taste of what we hopefully will do next year in person.
Yeah, so you go to silvermountainmusic.co.za and you can find all the links there. There are interviews and photographic exhibitions and talks about the fish that Aileen talked about earlier, the redfin, and the dwarf chameleon, which is endemic to that area as well. And one of the people who's been to play at the festival there, this would have been the fifth year of the festival, but who played in the last 4 years, was Charles Duplessis. And here's something from his CD called Baroque Swing. That was Charles Duplessis and his trio playing Baroque Swing. That was some Bach. And Charles Duplessis has been quite busy during lockdown as well. I see you can go to his Facebook site or his website and find all sorts of things that they're doing. And of course, the National Arts Festival in Makanda, Grahamstown, they are also doing an online festival this year, as are many people, of course, because, as Aileen was saying, many musicians and actors and people in the arts world have been really hard hit by COVID-19 because they're not allowed to perform for audiences, live audiences, and that's a real tragedy, because that's what they do and that's what they want to do and that's what they thrive on. So many of them have turned to electronic media and Facebook sites and websites and online shows to try and make a living. In some cases not make a living, but in some cases definitely to try and make a living, because their work has just dried up. And that's what we're talking about with Aileen Anderson, is creating opportunities for people to be able to exist by tourism or by alien vegetation clearing. Let's just get back to that for a moment, because you said you employ up to 100 people doing alien vegetation clearing.
Yeah, so we normally it's 100 people, and it's about 65 permanent jobs it equates to. And those people, what's really been challenging now is because of the new COVID regulations, that we can't get them back to work yet, because we're still trying to sort out all the face masks and the temperature thermometers and all the new requirements that are coming in. So all these people that want to work just can't until we get clarity on how we can go forward with these new regulations. Because they're teams of 12 that have to travel together in one bucky, and there's concern about, will that be a source of infection? So how do we transport them? It's very, very challenging. These people desperately need the work. They earn minimum wage, and now they haven't been working for 2 months. So it's very challenging.
Yeah, I mean, this is the story, of course, all over the country, but I guess in rural communities, it's even worse, because there's not a sort of passing traffic that one can call on. You're at the end of the road, and whereas in town, people can at least get on the street corner and ask for help, there are no street corners out there.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, there are not a lot of other options for many of these. Yeah. There's just not a lot of, especially with such a cut down in tourism, a lot of people have had to be retrenched because businesses can't afford them anymore. And so we really want to try and find a way to get these people back to work. And one of the big challenges, even just getting, I mean, I've been struggling for weeks just to get deliveries of PPE into our area, because the whole country is trying to order face masks at the moment.
Yeah.
And so just trying to get an order of 100 face masks into this remote valley, I'm struggling.
But isn't that something that local people could make then?
Yeah, so actually, so I misspoke. So the face masks, we have got someone, the actual cotton masks, we've got someone in Seabrook who's making those, but the face shields, those plastic shields, they're called face shields, have to be brought in, and that's very challenging to try and get those.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I mean, and sometimes I've ordered thermometers and they don't work, and so before I order 12 or 20 of them, I want to make sure I order the right ones. And so it is very difficult to get all these new PPE requirements into this remote little part of the world.
Well, your next choice is very appropriate. It's called Better Days. So that was Better Days. One Republic is the group performing it. The choice of Aileen Anderson, who's my guest. She lives in the mountains up behind Swellendam. And just Swellendam itself is a very interesting area. If people are traveling along that road, instead of just driving past Swellendam, it's worth going into. Just tell us something about the attractions of Swellendam itself.
Yeah, so Swellendam is a lovely little town to visit. It's got some really, really good restaurants that I love going to. Everyone always says, oh, it's 40 minutes drive from me, but that's our closest place to get a meal out. So there's some very special, it's known for some top restaurants, La Sosta, Field and Fork, some of my favorites. And then it's also got, it's quite a strong arts community there as well, quite a few artists, painters, sculptors that live there. It's definitely worth just to stay there. There's also some great hiking and mountain biking behind Swellendam itself. Marloth has hikes and mountain biking, so you can combine a trip to us with some time in Swellendam as well to enjoy the area.
And a lot of historic homes, I think.
Yes, there's lots of beautiful buildings. I mean, just walking through town, you can see lots of beautiful buildings there, absolutely. And there is a theatre there, obviously not operating now, but they have some musical attractions as well in town.
Yeah, and someone told me that I think one of the top Italian restaurants in South Africa is in Swellendam. Tell us about that.
Yes. So La Sosta is, I think it is, at one stage it was rated the top Italian restaurant in South Africa, and that's in town. It's a great experience. Lovely couple that run it, and it's really fabulous. It's on the main street. And the other favorite one is Field and Fork, which is a local one owned by somebody local as well. And that's also, those two would be my favorite in Swellendam.
And one of the places where you do concerts is a very beautiful little hotel called Schoon at Work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's also a great place to have dinner, to go visit. A special weekend away at Schoon at Work is absolutely great. It's a beautiful building.
Yeah. So next time you're traveling along that road, listeners, if ever you see a turn off to Swellendam, take it and go and have a look at Swellendam, or stay overnight, and then you can go off into the Grootvadersbos area as well, which is through Zeebrugge. You turn off at Buffeljagtsrivier, and you go up the road. It's a small winding road, and it just gets narrower and narrower as you go along. And then eventually you can turn off over the Tradeau Pass to Barrydale, or you just keep going straight. And if you keep going straight, and then you turn left and left and left, you will eventually come to Grootvadersbos. So it's a beautiful area to visit. And you've been living there, Aileen, you say, for something like 5 years now.
So I used to live in, I still have a flat in town, so in Tamboerskloof. So it's a bit of a shock to go from Tamboerskloof to come out here. But I've always come here. Our family's been, as I mentioned earlier, been in this valley for generations. We come here as children. So it always felt like a second home. And then finally made the decision to move out here to be involved in the family farm and then run the conservancy. And so, yeah, I enjoy it. It has its challenges, but it's also fabulous to, I mean, one of the privileges is it's very safe here for the moment. So I can go for a mountain bike ride on my own for as long as I like without any fear, whereas in Cape Town, you always have to be aware of that.
Yeah.
So that's another big plus here. If you come out here, you know, I always, if a late girl comes here on her own and it's not sure, can I ride my own? I'm absolutely, there's no... Really, at the moment, we have no risk, which is absolutely a great privilege.
And unusual these days. So fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's absolutely unusual.
Your next choice is Into My Arms, the Band of Horses. That was Into My Arms, the choice of Aileen Anderson, my guest in People of Note tonight. And talking of bands of horses, is there horse riding in the area too?
Yes, so I'm not a horse rider myself. I prefer a bike, but they definitely, if that's something, we do have farmers that do that. So Fleckfair, which is one of the farmers in the valley, they have horses, and you can definitely arrange something with them. I think Honeywood also has a few. So if that's something, you can do. And I'm sure our farmers are so open to things. I'm sure if you wanted to bring your own horse and ride it up here, it would be able to make a plan.
And
so
you mentioned,
be a lovely thing to
you mentioned there in passing Fleckfee Farm, and they have something very special to offer as well, because that's an unusual herd of cows.
Yeah, so Fleckfee is, it's not Jersey, it's a different breed, and it's a Simmentaler type. I'm not, no expert on this, but what's unique about it is that it's a special type of milk that is A2 as opposed to the A1 milk. So it's a different type, and it's supposed to be very, very healthy. And if you go there, you can hear a fascinating conversation about what that actually means in terms of health and the different types of breeds. And the other unique thing about Fleckvier is that a lot of dairy cows, they don't produce very good meat, so you can't actually they either beef or their milk. But the Fleckvier breed, you can actually also use the meat, which is quite unusual to be able to have both. It's a dual breed.
So there you are, lots of things to do in that area. Your next choice is called Half Saved. That was Half Saved by Luca Fogale. And, well, with the lockdown, we're not even half saved yet. And one wonders, you know, when all this is going to end now, because I guess you can't wait for people to come back to that area now. And
yeah.
Are people, I mean, is anyone coming there at the moment, or are you still in lockdown?
Well, so it is sort of interesting. I was saying to someone the other day, in a way, for me, we're kind of in a permanent lockdown because we're so isolated sometimes. And I sort of look back at level 5 when it was all, even though it was economically hard, it was sort of this peace because you wouldn't have anybody disturbing you. You could just enjoy the mountains. Whereas now we're in this sort of weird space where people are wanting to book, but they're not sure. We're trying to get people work. There's just sort of an uncertainty of what's going to happen and how it's all going to play out. So that's almost, in a way, more stressful than that sort of quiet, complete isolation, which I personally found sort of easier to handle than this sort of place we're in now.
Yeah. Well, we certainly hope that it will start opening up soon and that you'll get tourists and back, and the farmers will be able to do what they do. And one of the images that actually is seared on my mind is the picture of the one farmer sitting on his piles of discarded flowers, the flower farmer. You mentioned him earlier. And I just remember seeing the caption that it's like 2 million rands worth of flowers just dumped.
And the thing is, it was so I went to go visit him during level 5, and actually he was so desperate to try and sell them to someone because they were just going to be thrown out. And it was so crazy that you could sort of go into a supermarket and buy chocolates, but you couldn't buy flowers. The definition of what was essential has massive implications for some of these farmers. Yeah. So I think now they are able to sell again and export again, but still very challenging.
So he has a great pile of compost now, apart from anything else.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to make light of these things, but I guess something has to come of it.
Yeah. But I also, I don't know what's going to happen with the arts and the music, because I really feel for many of these artists that, I mean, it's unclear as to when they're going to be able to. And I just remember thinking during lockdown, many of us were watching Netflix and listening to music, and a lot of these songs you're hearing are songs that I listened to during lockdown, and it just sort of struck me that we're enjoying this music and this entertainment, but none of them were able to work. And that's why I think it's so important that people contribute to the arts now, because we've sort of selfishly benefited from the music and the entertainments, but they weren't able to work. So I just think that's very tough.
Yeah, but one of the things that you have been helping with is you've got an online shop with some products from local artists.
Yeah, so there's a Seabrook artist called John Donovan Julius, who's very, very talented local artist, and he produced a whole lot of custom-made bags, with hero bags, we call them, with different faces of policemen or nurses with a mask and a hero, and they're beautifully made hand-painted bags. And they're all at our online shop, which you can get to through our Silver Mountain Music website. And then you can also order masks made by the local ladies in Seabrook, just to help some of these artists and communities get back on their feet. And you can also donate thermometers and face shields to some of these small businesses to get them back to work.
So there you are. If you go to that Silver Mountain Music website, you'll find the online shop there. So it's silvermountainmusic.co.za, and there you can find links to all these other talks, some music events, and also this online shop, which supports local artists there in that area. But that doesn't make up for going to the area. So once the lockdown is over, if you're listening to this program and you're in the Western Cape, it's not so far from you. even if you're in Gauteng, it's really worth a visit. Your next song, or your next choice, is called Simple Song. That was Simple Song, the choice of Aileen Anderson, my guest in People of Note. This program is broadcast every Sunday from 6 to 8, and in it I talk to someone who is a person of note, and we listen to music of their choice. And Aileen Anderson runs the Grootvadersbos Conservancy, which is a group of 17 farmers in that area, which is in the mountains behind Swellendam. And we certainly hope that this lockdown doesn't prove too difficult for them, because actually, I'm just wondering what choice farmers have. You can't just suddenly shut down a farm.
Yeah, well, yeah, many of these farmers, they had to keep going during during lockdown, keep producing milk, keep producing food production. But a lot of them are just struggling with, so the global economy to produce, you need these days so many cows, so much land to be able to compete in the global market, that they are really struggling in that context. Yeah. And then a lot of staff were, during the lockdown, a lot of the staff were stressed, were worried, didn't come to work. So even though they had to continue competing in a very difficult global market, they were also dealing with the local stresses of COVID.
But most of them have come through that okay now. We're on the other side, at least, of that first bump.
Absolutely. So, I mean, most of the farmers are continuing, but a lot of them had developed the tourism side of their business, and that side is still very, very slow. And a lot of people are hesitant to rush back into that, to open up too quickly, because once you open up, if nobody comes, then you've invested in cleaning cottages, getting restaurants going, buying food. In Skåne, one of our big tourism partners in the Conservancy is very focused on international tourism, and they told me they've got freezers of ostrich steak that they purchased before lockdown that's just sitting in the freezer, and they don't know what to do with it, because normally that goes. They're very, very busy.
Yeah.
And now what do they do? Do they restock? Do they restock their wine cellar? Just at what point do you open up all your doors?
I think your 17 members of your Conservancy should have a hell of a braai one night.
With all those frozen steaks. Now maybe we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
We certainly helped them with some of their wine stock during lockdown, because no one could get wine. But
yeah, you can polish off the ostrich steaks and drink lots of wine. It'd be great.
Yeah.
So your next choice perhaps is appropriate. I Won't is the title. Richard Walters. That was Richard Walters with I Won't. The choice of Aileen Anderson, my guest in People of Note. And we're just about at the end of the program now, Aileen. So just, I think, let's, for our listeners, let's give them all those websites again. The first one was silvermountainmusic.co.za, but then you had some others. Just give us the others.
So the other one for the Conservancy is GVB Conservancy. So that's Golf Victor Bravo Conservancy.co.za. And that'll link you to all of the guest houses in the area and all the activities that we do in the area. And then if you want more of the links to some of the programs, that's on the Facebook page of Silver Mountain Music. That's Silver MT Music is the handle for our Facebook page.
And I guess for information about these unusual animals, Cape Nature must have something as well, do they?
Yeah, so if you go to Cape Nature website, they'll tell you more about the reserve, the Grootvadersbos Nature Reserve next door. But we also have links to that from our website. So on the GVB Conservancy website, you can find out about the fish program that we run. That's funded by Table Mountain Fund with support from Cape Nature. You'll also read about some of our trails, all the maps for our mountain bike trails are all on that website. So there's actually a lot of information on there. And we also have a blog where we update sort of monthly stories from the farming community, interesting facts of what's going on. So there's a lot of constant information on that website.
Fantastic. Well, there we are. That was Aileen Anderson, who lives in that area and runs the Grootvadersbos Conservancy. And she's taken time out from her pretty busy schedule, keeping everything going there, to talk to us here on Classic 102.7. So I just want to say thank you, Aileen.
Well, thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And thank you for highlighting our valley and for everything you've done for
us. It's a great pleasure. And we finish with your last choice, which is called Ocean by Ella Foss. And from my side, I say good night, and thank you to Matabataba Hadebe, who's helped us put this program together. And thank you all at home for listening. And, of course, to Aileen in her isolated position on the farm in the mountains behind Swellendam. Thank you, Aileen.